you would like more details about this, and you'll be hearing more about this on the weekend, but if you would like to know more about it tonight, you can speak with the Lewises, Dave and or Jeanette Lewis, and they'll give you more details about this leadership training conference of the Child Evangelism Fellowship. And let's be in prayer for that conference, and maybe you can attend. I'm sure it would be helpful to those teachers who can come and others who are interested in working with boys and girls. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. As I look back over my Christian years, I've been saved going on 25 years now. And as I look back over the years I've been saved, I believe one of the foremost reasons that I thank the Lord so far as the Christian fellowship in a local assembly like this is concerned is the variety of ministry. I thank the Lord for the variety of ministry that we have. Now, I know that God has given outstanding Bible teachers and preachers, but I think that one would have to be tremendously outstanding to be the only teacher and preacher in a given place and to listen to just one man minister the word, regardless of how good he is, over the years. That person would really have to be good to listen to the same person and just that one person week after week after week. Now, I know of places where that is the case and people are fed the Word of God. But I thank the Lord for the variety of ministry that we have, for the different ones who can share from the Word of God from this platform as well as in our other activities of the chapel. And we're reminded time and time again about looking to the Lord in times of discouragement, in times of despondency, to look up, to look away from ourselves, and to look to Him. And we need this type of ministry repeatedly, do we not? We need it often. We need to be reminded of so many things because we get discouraged so easily and so often. And I know that here again tonight, as is the case quite often, there are very heavy hearts in our midst. And I'm no different from you. There are things that discourage me, and there are times that I, my family, and I bear burdens as you do. And it's wonderful that we can share one with another in the things of God and together rejoice in Him. I know that there are heavy hearts here tonight. I know there are those who are facing problems, who are facing difficulties, and so it has been my prayer and is my prayer that as we consider the Word of God, that we will look away from ourselves, look away from our circumstances, and look to Him. Psalm 42, notice please down in verse 11. The writer of this psalm is asking himself a question, several questions. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the help of my countenance and my God. Psalm 43. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God, my exceeding joy, Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. Well, the words here sound familiar, don't they? Because we read similar words, we read about similar instances several times in the Word of God, where first of all there is the sorrow and then there is the song. Now these two psalms, Psalm 42 and 43, actually go together. And they have been labeled the malady and the medicine. And that's a good label, that's a good title, the malady and the medicine. Because as we consider these two psalms, we do see the sorrow as well as the song. We see the fear as well as the faith. We see the doubt as well as the devotion. You will notice in verse 7, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. In verse 7, we see the billows, and in verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. And there's the blessing. First the billows, and then the blessing. First the sighing, and then the singing. And you will notice, as the psalmist talks to himself and asks himself certain questions, then he talks to the Lord in Psalm 43. He talks to God, and then this psalm ends in verse 5 with him talking to himself once again and asking the same question that we find in Psalm 42. O my soul, why art thou cast down? Now that's a good question for us to ask ourselves again tonight. And as I said, we find ourselves asking that question to ourselves time and time again, because Satan is so busy seeking to discourage us, seeking to distress us, seeking to get us in that state of despondency and dejection, because he knows if we get to that place, we cannot be used effectively for our King. We cannot be used effectively for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, it was good that the psalmist, possibly David, asked himself this question. I believe in talking to himself the way he did, he manifested real wisdom. Now the reason I state that is because in talking to himself the way he did, in putting forth to himself these questions that we read here, we see something of the wisdom of this man. Now Satan works in such a way as to seek to get us occupied with our feelings, rather than to reason the writings of God, rather than to consider the promises of God. If he can get us occupied with ourselves and with our feelings, then he will have victory over us, and we will not be effective in our service for the Lord. Well, it's difficult not to be occupied with yourself, isn't it? I have found that to be the case, especially when there are problems and these obstacles seem to be so great. There's just no way of getting over them, no way to get around them. I might as well give up. There's just no way out. And yet God is greater than our obstacles, is he not? He's greater than our sin. He's greater than our service. He's greater than ourselves. And he is in control And he knows all, he's all-powerful, and there is nothing that is beyond him. But Satan can work in such a way. Whether he brings about situations or whether he uses them, Satan works in such a way as to get us so occupied with our problems, with our burdens, with our obstacles, and then with ourselves, that we will not be effective. We will be a defeated Christian, and we will not be effective in the things of God. We'll not be worshiping the Lord as we should. We'll not be occupied with the Lord. We'll not be reading the Word and considering the promises of God. We will just live in a state of depression, dejection, distress, discouraged, despondent. It has been well said that a depressed Christian is a prisoner of war under the power of the enemy and unable efficiently to serve his rightful king. And that's exactly where Satan wants us. Now, if we will do what David did here in manifesting this wisdom, in considering the issue, in considering the facts, considering the promises of God, then our difficulties will not seem so large, our problems will not seem so big to us when we consider God, and when we consider His Word. Now, what are the reasons for discouragement? What are the reasons for despondency? Well, a number of answers could be given. As I said, there are those instances where Satan works. He brings about himself situations that will cause discouragement and despondency. I believe there are some natural causes, as they've been labeled, some natural causes for despondency and discouragement. I believe, first of all, that a lack of rest will cause one to be discouraged. I have experienced it myself to some extent. I have seen it in others with whom I have visited and with whom I have dealt. Those people who were going so much and doing so much, almost foaming at the mouth for lack of rest, and so occupied that first thing they knew, they were discouraged. Now, it has been said many times from this platform by others as well as myself, and I know it to be true in my own experience, and I think you do too, that it's so easy to become so occupied for the Lord that we're not occupied with Him. And we shake our heads and say, yes, I know, I've heard that before, but now, wait a minute. Now, it is true. We can become so occupied for Him. We can be occupied with many good works. And I'm afraid that many of us are occupied with so many things. We are so occupied with secondary things that the primary, the very basic things, are going without any attention or as much attention as needed given to them. And I'm like you. I don't know where to draw the line. I know that there are some here in this meeting who are wearing 5 or 6 hats, doing a number of different things, and we meet ourselves coming and going. And we have to stop and just take that spiritual inventory once in a while and ask ourselves, now wait a minute, am I spending enough time with my family? Am I spending enough time with my wife? Am I spending enough time with my husband? Now these are some important things. Am I spending enough time with my children? Now, these are vital questions. They are necessary questions. And I believe that there are many of us here who are not spending time with our families as we should. As I said, I know it's difficult to know where to draw the line. We sometimes think to ourselves, well, now, all right, if I draw the line here and I stop doing this, then there will be those who want to know what happened to me. Am I out of fellowship with the Lord? And we have to be careful. If the Lord has definitely led us to some specific task, whether at home or in the area or in the local church, then we have to be faithful to Him in fulfilling that responsibility. Let's just be sure that the Lord led us to do it. When we get discouraged, we want to give up everything, don't we? But here we can't go by our feelings. We have to start asking some basic questions. Now, maybe we are discouraged because of lack of rest. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 18, if you will. And verse 19. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. Verse 21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. Now here's a familiar portion of scripture known to many of us in this auditorium. It might be well for us to read this chapter and the related chapters once again. Because if there ever was a busy man, Elijah was that man. And here we find him very active as he gives the challenge to the prophets of Baal and to the prophets of the grove. And we see this man very active as we read through this chapter. When you come to chapter 19, you'll find that he prayed that his life might be taken. Chapter 19, verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than I thought. But why the difference here? Here he is on Mount Carmel, standing faithfully for God. Here's a man who would not bend whatsoever and bow to Baal, nor the prophets of Baal. And here this man is standing faithfully for God, and God used him mightily. And yet, just a short time later, here he is, quite evidently discouraged to the point where he's crying to the Lord to just take his life. It is amazing how quickly and easily, oftentimes, we get discouraged. We change so quickly. My, everything can be going so smoothly, and there's not a cloud in the sky, and we can be singing along with everybody else, oh, how I love Jesus. Lord, take my life. Let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. We can sing these songs so heartily at times, and then just a couple of days later, we're down in the dumps, and we're discouraged and despondent. What's happened? Maybe it is we're too active. And when you examine chapter 19, the first part of it, you'll find that quite evidently this man needed some rest, and he needed some food. And he got both. And God ministered to him in that way. I believe what Elijah needed was to come apart. And if he did not come apart and rest, he would have come apart. He was at that point when he prayed, quite evidently. And you need not turn to it, but in Mark chapter 6 and in verse 31, he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And here the Lord said to his disciples, now you come apart and rest. Let's get things in the right perspective. Let's know where to draw the line. Let's be sure we fulfill our responsibilities in the home and in the local church. But let's be sure that we come apart and rest a while. If we don't, we'll come apart. And sad to say, so many Christians are coming apart. So there is the one natural cause, if you want to call it that, for discouragement, despondency, and it's the lack of rest. What's the remedy? Come apart and rest a while. Come apart and spend time with the Lord. And just be occupied with Him. I believe another cause for discouragement is introspection, or looking within. Here again, it has been said many times that when we look back, we'll be defeated. When we look around to others, oftentimes we'll be discouraged. When we look within, we'll be disgusted. It's only when we look to Him we'll be delighted. But we are inclined to look within. It's amazing, as I said, how we can change from one week to another. It seems that one week, when everything is going so nicely, so smoothly, we see Him. And that's the reason everything looks that way, because we are occupied with Him. And yet, another week, and all we can see is ourselves and our problems. We start looking within, and we'll be discouraged, disgusted, we'll be defeated. And what is the remedy for this? Well, you know that. I think you're ahead of me already. Many scriptures to which we can turn. I'll just refer to one. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer said in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He speaks about running the race, doesn't he? He speaks about the weights that hold us back. He speaks about the sins, or the sin that hinders us. And you know as well as I do, when a runner is in the race, he cannot be distracted. He cannot look around as he runs. Because such a one will be like Peter when attempting to walk through Jesus on the water. He looked around and he started to sink. And a runner in a race cannot look around. He must have his eyes looking straight ahead. He must be concentrating, and he must be giving diligence to running the race. He cannot be distracted. And there is that danger of looking within. And I am sure Satan tempted the psalmist to do so. But as I said, he manifested wisdom by asking the questions that he did. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And we cannot go by feeling. And yet, oftentimes we do, don't we? Oftentimes we're there in our homes or on the job, wherever we might be. The Bible might be not too far from us. And yet, all we can think about is our particular problem. You talk to some people, and all they talk about is themselves. Or their self. You ask some people, how you doing? And when they start telling you, you find yourself feeling sorry that you have. I've asked some people, well, how are you getting along physically? And I found myself at times saying to myself, well, you shouldn't have asked the question. Just don't ask it next time, because some people are occupied with themselves. You know, it's refreshing. It is refreshing indeed to see someone else and to listen to someone else who is occupied with the Lord. And the remedy for this discouragement that comes about from looking to yourself and being occupied with yourself and just your little world, your problems, your difficulties, your physical ailments. The remedy for that is looking to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We had to look to Jesus for salvation. That was a definite act. We had to look to Him. And we had to look for Christ, and we have to look to Christ for sanctification, which should be a definite habit. And it's looking for Christ for glorification, which is a definite hope that we have. But we are to look to Him. Even as we have looked to Him for salvation, we have to look to Him for this practical sanctification day by day. We have to look to Him to overcome this discouragement and this despondency. Fellow believers, I believe we should make it a practice not to talk about ourselves. Now, we do that to some extent. We do that to some extent. But we should talk about Him. Now, we shouldn't lie. If someone asks how we're doing, we should answer, but let's don't spend so much time talking about ourselves. Let's talk about Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then another reason for discouragement and despondency would be trials. There are some situations of our own making, and yet God overrules, and He brings us through them nonetheless. But there are difficulties, trials, and problems that we face that are not of our own making. They are those difficulties that He has either directed or has allowed for some reason or reasons. And I'm no different from you. I don't understand. I wonder why sometimes. I find myself praying, Lord, now, why? Now, You're in control, and this is not beyond You, and I'm not praying for anything that's so difficult. And You know my heart, even though I don't know it myself, because the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But You know my heart. And I don't believe I'm selfish in praying for this. I believe I'm honest and sincere. I'm open with You. I'm praying about this matter for Your glory. I'm praying about this matter for Your testimony. But why, Lord? Why? In fact, when you read Psalms 42 and 43, you'll find the word why 10 times
in those two little Psalms.
10 times. Why? And it's a question that we ask quite often. Why? Well, oftentimes we don't know why. But here again, we shouldn't let what we don't know shake our confidence in what we do know. We know He's God. We know He's a gracious God. We know He's a loving God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, we know that because He has promised that. He has stated that. And God is not a man that He would lie. He's God, and He cannot lie. And so there will be those trials and those difficulties that will come in living the Christian life. We don't understand why, but He knows, and we are to be yielded to Him. And in those times, we are to manifest this wisdom by talking to ourselves about the Word of God and directing ourselves to the Word, as the psalmist did. Now, soul, why are you discouraged? Now, let's consider the Word of God. Let's not look at ourselves, and let's not be occupied with these trials so much, but let's consider the Word of God. All things do work together for good to them that love God. I know I gave this illustration some time ago, but as I said, we need to be reminded of these things. Louise will make a cake from time to time. And let's see, what goes into a cake? Depending on what kind of cake you make, you have to have flour, butter, egg whites, and extract of some kind, and baking powder, is it? Maybe a little salt, and on. Now, most of these ingredients, I wouldn't want to eat individually. I wouldn't want to eat flour by itself. I wouldn't want to eat egg whites. The Lord knows I wouldn't want to eat egg whites by themselves. I wouldn't want to eat Crisco or whatever shortening is used by itself. I wouldn't want to drink extract alone. Most of the ingredients that go into the cake I wouldn't want to take individually, but when they're put together, well, then I can do justice by it. As someone said, then I can give it a decent burial. But all of the things work together to give us the finished product. And we have to take this into consideration. When we get discouraged and despondent, we have to look away from ourselves, look away from our circumstances, and look to Him. We have to, first of all, I believe, get alone in the presence of God. Now, the Lord Jesus did this, did He not? There were times, and all you have to do is read through the Gospels and see this, there were times when the Lord Himself did not do certain works because He got alone and spent time with His Heavenly Father. And He told His disciples to come apart and rest a while. And so we have to get into the presence of God. Not only so, but when we're discouraged, we have to seek the fellowship of the people of God. I must confess, I don't really understand, I do and I don't, understand why Christians can be discouraged and stay away from prayer meeting or times of fellowship. Now that I don't understand, because if there's ever a time we need that fellowship, that closeness, it's at a time like that. And yet, that's the way we get though, you see. We get so discouraged, so despondent, we don't want to go. And Satan uses that. We don't want to go to prayer meeting. We don't want to go to the fellowship get together. Why? Well, I just don't feel up to it. I'm just out of sorts. Well, my. Well, that's when we need it the most. We need to get into the presence of God. We need the people of God. There's something about our fellowshipping together, getting together and sharing in the things of God and singing together that nothing else will quite do. Maybe I told you the illustration too about the man who was, well, he was at odds with one or two other believers in the meeting. There were some ill feelings, and so he decided to stay home. He didn't have to go to the meetings. He could worship the Lord right there at home. He could enjoy the Lord right there in his home. And he could even take his songbook and sing his songs. He didn't have to go to the meeting. And that's the argument some give. And this visiting brother who had come to see him, to talk to him about these things, was listening to him as he went over these. And while he was talking, this brother took the tongs off of the hearth, and he reached into the fireplace where was a blazing fire, and he took one of the coals out and placed it out on the hearth. And the man went on talking, and they both watched the coal. And first thing you know, the fire was gone, and there was no burning, no fire, no heat. And that was used to speak to that man. There is something about us getting together that nothing else will do. And so we need to get into the presence of God, we need to seek the fellowship of the people of God, and we need to lean hard upon the promises of God. I want to go into this particular point on our next Wednesday night that we speak. We need to lean hard upon the promises of God. What has God said? What has He promised? And we need to consider the providences of God.
because all things do work together for good to them that love God. And so the psalmist, on being discouraged, he began to ask himself some questions, and then he went to the Lord, and he talked to the Lord about these things, and after getting into the presence of God, after considering the promises of God, he asked himself once again, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Discouragement will take away our praise. It will take away our song. And one of the best things we can do when we're discouraged and despondent is start praising God anyway. Just singing his praises. And you'll find the fog lifting. And you'll find things working out after all. Well, we'll go into this a little further at another time. But right now, let's close in prayer. Now, Father, we confess to thee once again that we are discouraged so easily at times, despondent so quickly. And we realize too, Father, that that which we've considered tonight is really nothing new to us. It's so familiar. But Father, we pray that thou wilt cause us to realize that thou art God, the living God. And thou changest not. And thou failest not. And we pray, Father, that we will look to thee. We will look up. And if we can't see through our difficulties, we'll look above them and look away from them and ourselves and look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is at thy right hand, and we will consider the promises of God. Father, we know that there are those here in this place discouraged tonight, despondent. We know there are those here who are shouldering heavy burdens. But Father, we pray that we will look to thee and rejoice in thee nonetheless. Dismiss us with thy blessings, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.